Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 653. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
You know, like I was saying, just a busy work week. Nothing too stressful. Just had to get chopping this week, so it's been a pretty decent week. That makes the week go quick and not be stressful. So I'll take it. We do know that there have been some persons in the WWE in the recent past that things maybe not got a little more stressful for them, but they definitely need to find some more employment should they wish to continue to be professional wrestlers. And one of those persons was Mickie James, who got released recently. And it just so happened that she decided to share, was it on Instagram or TikTok or just on...
Instagram and Twitter.
Okie doke. But she posted a video showing the care package that she got from the WWE that was in... Now, I don't know if you can necessarily blame the WWE for what looked like a somewhat shoddy box, but that could have been done in transit, so... inside of said box was a black plastic bag of whatever Mickie James might have had. Like, that is a weird part of the equation that I saw on Twitter that I also was just like, yeah, I completely understand. Like, what did she have? Like, because they're independent contractors and they bring their stuff, like... What did she have that they needed to, you know, to mail to her? Like, that's a weird part of this. That's an underrated weird part of this whole thing.
Yeah, I don't completely get that. I guess she was doing more down at the Performance Center and doing other shows. I know she did the... NXT TakeOver pre-show.
Oh.
The last time we saw her do anything. And in all likelihood, I believe it was the first time we'd seen her on anything in a while. To boot.
Oh.
But she had to have had a locker or a desk there at some point. that she had left some belongings behind. And somewhere down along the chain, someone was told the collector... her belongings and send them to her, and they put them in a black garbage bag.
Yeah, that, well, after she shared that, the story, which I also really just read, got a little bit updated, in and of the fact that, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, came out with a statement recognizing the poor treatment of Mickie James effects, and that the person responsible for this action has been themselves fired.
Yeah, no. This definitely would likely one of those things that would not have happened if she hadn't have gone public. And yeah, no, this is definitely a publicity safe, face-saving move. I'm sure it is no one of note who has been let go for this. I'd be fairly positive about that. But actually,
yeah,
there's a I just retweeted it on my Twitter about the almost identical statements from Triple H and John Laurinaitis. So they did not actually write those statements themselves.
yeah, that's a dead giveaway.
And Stephanie did a more original tweet as well.
Oh, And I do think it was pretty bad, like, because I didn't see this whole thing unfolding on Twitter in real time, but it was pretty crazy that Jillian Hall, was it Gail Kim and one
I don't
other,
follow.
huh?
Go ahead, but I don't follow all these people on my personal Twitter. But
Well,
yeah, I'm sure they're on, but
yeah, there were at least, oh, Maria Kanellis was the other one.
I think I did see that one.
That said that they had a similar treatment. And I'm just like, yeah, this is something that you guys kind of knew was happening. And yeah, man, that's it. Not that I expect anything crazy from them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't expect it gift wrapped with a bow tie on it. But just organizing the effects would be effective, you know, without drawing anyone's ire. And it really shouldn't be that hard to do, honestly. Like, again, like, that did. Her garbage bag did not exactly look like she left a lot of stuff there.
No, I'm sure it was just a small amount of things. I'm not even sure exactly what. Once again, because I don't know what she did there. I don't know how many hours she was there a week or a month. Yeah, but no, it definitely, definitely disrespect. Just the image of your things in a garbage bag. I
Oh.
know, like sometimes I might use a garbage bag for my own things, but I wouldn't. Unless I really wanted to send that kind of type of a message to a person, like an ex or something like that, I would not use a garbage bag to package.
Yeah, I may have used garbage bags to pack the ex's stuff, but also I packed her stuff, so fuck her. But but yeah, it's also one thing to have anything kind of personal like that. And then have it coming from a company, you know? Luckily, I have not ever been in this situation that I have left without being able to get my stuff. Even when I was let go recently, they said, "Hey, stop on in to get your stuff sometime." You know, so when I did get some appropriate free time, I stopped in. So yeah, you just want some type of dignified treatment. Like you're not expecting a lot, but that was like you said, it's just a bad image, you
It
know.
is very bad image, and right now WWE is more image conscious than ever. They've got their new whatever it is. I don't know the greatest title, but this new head of operations that's just making deals left and right for this company. As you and Jeremy alluded to, in spite of their pitiful creative efforts, this company is somehow making more money than ever.
Yeah, I mean it is funny that I mean some of our better shows recently have been not really on necessarily the topic of wrestling itself or reviewing the shows. Sometimes it's just been incidental because, yeah, like it is one of those things that it's such a dichotomy. Like, and it's another reason why it's so weird when people are like, "Oh, look at the ratings." And I mean, it does say something that the ratings are going down, but when they're making that much money and making even more deals, it's like, guys, like it doesn't matter in a lot of ways. Like, you know, if other people out there perceive their value to be that, you know, and they're gonna give them that much money, it doesn't matter, man. It really doesn't matter. It is bonkers how much money they're getting. And having just, I mean, this is one of those periods where, and I mean, I think you and I have even talked about it. Like, I feel like this is one of those periods where we were like, we looked at each other and were like, oh, fuck it, let's do shows about not wrestling. Or it just, or did wrestling adjacent stories. And this time period kind of feels like that. Like the pandemic has definitely put something of a crimp on plans, but you would think that having full narrative control, that maybe they'd be able to come up with, you know, that they'd be able to write storylines better than having to adjust to the crowd, but they haven't done that at all. Like, it's actually been worse. Like, the fans point them in the right direction most of the time rather than, you know, as the WWE does, tries to be an adversary to the fans.
Yeah.
but, yeah, I don't get it. So, yeah, Mickie James not treated well. but yeah, I guess there isn't really much more to say on that, is there? Like it, I just hope that habit stops for the WWE.
Yeah, I definitely hope so too. A little kindness goes a long way.
Yeah, so I guess we may as well shift over to NXT. And, you know, there's a lot of, there's a big upside to that being on Tuesday nights. Have you found it a little more palatable to not have to double watch AEW and NXT?
I indeed have. I did watch NXT Live on Tuesday. The live of NXT, it's a little bit more, at least this week, it was more of a laborious show than AEW. So I don't know if I'll continue watching NXT Live. Oh. Every week.
Yeah.
So I might just watch the Hulu version on like Wednesday or something like that. So I guess I would still be watching NXT and AEW both on Wednesday, but I'd probably get NXT watched by the morning. While I eat breakfast or what have you.
Right. Yeah, I wish the DVR liked USA Network, but it doesn't. So I'm gonna end up watching it live while I record 9 times out of 10 now, and then watch the highlights on YouTube to get sound.
Yeah.
But it has made things a little bit easier. In the whole scope of reviewing shows and trying to do podcasts, honestly. Like, I basically watched the shows on different nights anyway. You know, it was really a little bit of AEW Wednesday night, and then most of it on Thursday before doing the show. So now, right. Just like you said, like, it kind of separated things out. Even though I'm still kind of watching both of them similar days. But yeah, they seem to be just moving in a new direction here post WrestleMania for NXT. And, you know, it's a lot of early storyline stuff.
Yeah. Very early. Yeah, this is a low stakes show, low maintenance, you could say.
Yeah.
You know, they probably don't even have a date for the next takeover yet, so they don't even know. I mean, there is historically, you know, been a takeover in June pretty much every year for a while now. So I assume that's it will be in about that time period. But no, this is not the time to really start putting anything into hyperdrive heading into a takeover in June. So yeah, no, it's just a low stakes show, but it was an easy show to watch. So maybe I'm saying that. Saying that it was a little bit more laborious than AEW, maybe necessarily, probably more commercials than anything else, of course. But if I have nothing else to watch on Tuesdays, who knows? And of course this week, because I graciously allow Jeremy Mays to take over the Tuesday night recording slot. I had nothing, because my plan has been all along to not, you know, to not watch NXT live, so that we can record on Tuesday nights at the time that we do around 9 p.m. That's a little peek behind the curtain there, folks. So and moving forward, I assume I am heading back to Tuesdays, and Jeremy would very much like to actually talk about the shows he actually enjoys. I'll let him have that. He's got seniority.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of it. And like you said, like, just, yeah, there is no way to get around recording one night that wrestling's on, because I honestly, you know, right now I could be watching Impact, but I popped on IWTV to watch some New South here, because what the hell? Why not?
Yeah, I should start watching some more stuff on IWTV as well.
I would not be in this crowd. It is not for me. I will say that currently. But hey, you know, if you want to do that, go for it. You know, it's not going to bother me at all, I don't think. But it's been kind of interesting. Getting back to NXT, I guess the one thing that cracked me up, I was amused that one Io Shirai came out as a cat woman, since Frankie Monet is using her dog is something of a prop.
Yeah. I was like, what did I miss?
Because I popped, like, I didn't see that segment on, or hear that segment on NXT, so I didn't hear that line. But Wednesday morning, I awoke to a picture of Io Shirai with her cat, and I liked it, and was firmly amused when I ended up hearing that line. So it makes even more sense now. But I guess that one thing, that interaction, though, definitely leads to something. I was ready for Io to head up to the main roster. It does not seem like that is going to be the case, at least for a little bit here.
No. They alluded to Io Shirai taking some time off, which they don't usually say it in those terms, that somebody's just going to take time off without an angle to send them off, but okay. And no, it sounds like she's staying at NXT. Everyone's staying at NXT. And you know what? I've reached the point over the last week where I'm okay with it. You know what? And the NXT women's division is my favorite thing in all of wrestling. What do I care about? And it's on USA Network in prime time on Tuesday nights. It's on Hulu. It's on Peacock. It's not on some weird fifth rate streaming service. It's not on like some digital cable channel I don't have at 1 o'clock in the morning. The show's here. I watch it every week. It's my favorite thing. So why do I care? So what do I care whether or not?
I guess I definitely don't care, and I'm fine with it. And it's definitely been one of those interesting things for NXT. Like, I do think that they've started to retain more of their people, and that the main roster has kind of cherry-picked who they want on it a little bit more recently. Like, Because I did find it pretty interesting that after... oh, man. Who doggies? That Bell Time beer got to me there. But after trying to integrate NXT and main roster for WrestleMania last year, and did they do it the year before?
No.
Okay.
And last year there was only one. There was only Rhea.
Okay. But I guess it was the Survivor Series is what I'm thinking of then.
Yes.
That they tried to include them, but then they didn't include them the next year, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I guess it's kind of interesting, like you said, like, I don't understand. Yeah, they need people to stay on that brand sometimes.
Yeah.
And like you said, like, the women's division is great. Like, I'm not going to argue. I just assumed because the main roster divisions are a train wreck that that she would be going up to help solve problems up there. But
problems are beyond that.
Well,
that's why I'm getting to the point where I'm just like, and I've read some other people's things that I've wrote on Twitter. It's like, you know what? You're right. Raw and SmackDown should improve creatively first.
Oh.
Because right now, everyone is worse off for the creative direction of the women on Raw and SmackDown.
And the majority of the men.
That's true. That's what we're just talking about, the women right now.
But yeah.
It's just like, they got a great moment out of Sasha and Bianca, and they haven't, quote unquote, ruined that yet, but beyond that, Raw is just a wasteland. I mean, there's no one safe from the substitute of the Raw. Charlotte Flair has been ruined by the Raw Women's Division. Asuka has been ruined by the Raw Women's Division. And then you throw in the tag team division, which crosses over to both shows, but it's really more of a Raw thing that then gets to contaminate SmackDown. So, you know, once Bianca Belair has had her rematches with Sasha and more matches with Bayley, there's nowhere else to go there either.
Oh. Yeah, it is not a very deep roster for her to get through. And she's already, you know, gotten through one of them, one of the two. And like you said, like, they'll definitely extend that feud in some fashion or another. But, you know, it's kind of a foregone conclusion, too. And honestly, the win over Bayley in any type of long-term feud is pretty foregone conclusion also, I would think. Like, you need to beat two of the four horsewomen at least to really solidify your reign. But then she's got nothing after that.
Yeah, no. So SmackDown's, the main event of SmackDown's women's division, has gotten a bit of a reprieve on all of this, but everything else in women related in WWE, it's in the main roster WWE, it's just awful. So, and there's no one person they could bring up for it to change. There's five women from NXT that can be brought up. That's going to change. The change has to come from within. It is a complete systematic failure. And anyone who is plugged into a systematic failure is going to fail.
And that doesn't even bring into account that I was already scared to high heavens that they wouldn't know how to handle Io Shirai on the main roster.
You know, and a lot of people have been made a lot about the Stone Cold Steve Austin A&E biography. As Stone Cold Steve Austin was coming up, WWE was changing, the very ecosystem of WWE was changing with him. They maybe it wasn't necessarily right away that they knew what they had, but when they knew what they had, they changed along with it.
Oh,
there's nothing. There's nothing here that says that, you know, any Io Shirai or anybody from SmackDown is going to be anything. I can't say like Stone Cold Steve Austin is just such a, you know, a time and place type of thing, but they're not going to be able to, you know, be any kind of a difference maker in a system that won't change with them.
No one is that much of a game changer. Like
but the company also has to be willing. Yeah, the company has to be willing to change.
Oh,
if WWE wasn't willing to if they weren't 24 years ago now, that's amazing. WWE wasn't willing to change. Stone Cold Steve Austin would never have happened. None of that stuff ever would have happened. And right now, they seem unwilling to change anything in their presentation. And you could argue the women have suffered the most for it.
It's been a really rough period for, most of the pandemic. Honestly. Like, because, you know, there have been some bright spots, but as an overall whole, oof, man, not good right now.
I don't want to blame the pandemic necessarily, because this company was in a free fall. Honestly, I would take 2020 over 2019. I think I've said it before. After WrestleMania 35, there was a tailspin.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe the first few months of 2019, leading into WrestleMania, was kind of an outlier, because really things have been trending downhill for even longer than that, and just it's the culmination of Vince McMahon's lifelong dream for the brand to be more important than any particular star or stars, but somehow along with that came this just homogenous. I know this is supposed to be the NXT and AEW shows where we actually talk about the shows we actually like, but we're on something here. Now I've lost my place.
Too homogenized, the whole
exactly.
product.
And that speaks to something I think I've said before. Stunt Granny was built on making fun of TNA. You would agree with that, right?
Well, there was that, and being assholes to wrestlers who were, let's just say, more times than not, abusing substances that were very easy targets.
Okay, let's go with the TNA thing.
But yes, making fun of TNA was very easy.
TNA was stupidly, hilariously awful to watch. Just like WCW in the last 2 or 3 years.
Oh.
Bad WWE is just boring. It's not fun to make fun of or laugh at and point and laugh at or get high and watch this stupid show or anything like that. It's just a boring show to watch when they are not doing well.
I agree. Like it. Yeah, it's gone. It's not necessarily a complete train wreck. It's usually just, sometimes it's fine, but when you have that much content and you're only getting to a fine level, it's not the best spot to be in at all.
No, it's not. No. Okay, I guess we can get back to the shows we actually like.
Well, that all sprung from talking about Io staying down in NXT.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with it, and nope. So they're setting some things up. Frankie Monet, the former Taya Valkyrie, probably a fine opponent for is that word again? But fine opponent for Io Shirai upon whenever Io Shirai returns from whatever the heck she's doing.
Meanwhile. I'm very interested to see how Frankie does in a WWE ring.
I am too.
As much as I like the women's division in Impact, I also think that there's even more athleticism in the WWE and specifically in NXT, as we've already kind of talked about, it'll be interesting to see how she fits in, because I think a match with Raquel Gonzalez is one thing. A match with Io is kind of a different, a little bit of a different animal, just because she's such a different wrestler than Raquel. I think Taya can definitely keep a slower pace with Raquel Gonzalez and not have to worry about it. But her speeding it up with some of the smaller women will be kind of interesting.
Yeah, no, pretty interesting. But once again, the NXT, there are four feuds in the NXT women's involving any NXT women at this point. You've got whatever's going to happen with Io and Frankie Monet. You got Mercedes Martinez challenging Raquel Gonzalez and going through Dakota Kai to get to her.
Yep.
The tag team title feud with Shotzi and Ember against Candice and Indy is still going on. And now we have Toni Storm and Zoe Stark feuding. That's four feuds, and two of them don't involve a championship. Once again, why can't Ron SmackDown just do that? but I digress. But yes, no, so yes. And boy, did The Way absolutely carry NXT on their back all night long. What?
I feel like I can still dislike the name, but also admit that they have carried SmackDown more weeks than not.
SmackDown?
SmackDown. NXT, I mean. Good God. NXT, you know, more weeks than not. Austin Theory, Austin Theory to me, he's, to draw another one of those creative parallels. I feel like on the main roster, Riddle is trying to play a similar type of character. And the dumb idiot, you know, Austin Theory is much better played and written than dumb idiot Riddle on the main roster. He just was cracking me up. The fact that he was kind of talking to William Regal on his own, and and some of his facial expressions, he's really doing a good job of playing off of Johnny Gargano. And the fact that he started calling him Papa John is completely ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man. So, yeah, to me, Austin Theory didn't have much of a personality, but he's starting to get a personality. Just saying you're the best and you're the future, it's not really, you know, it's an okay way to introduce yourself, but that is a very limited gimmick. So, you know, starting to introduce different sides of yourself is quite helpful. But yeah, because were they in four different segments or something like that?
It was at least four different segments, yes.
Oh man. Yeah, it was they really did carry that show. And A, I don't feel like any of the segments really overstayed their welcome. Indy Hartwell's infatuation with why am I blanking on his name now?
Dexter Loomis.
Dexter Loomis. I don't know why I was trying to. I was recalling a Simon name for reasons unknown. Yeah, so her fawning over Dexter Loomis and kind of causing Candace to get beat up by Ember Moon and Shotzi was. It was is just it continues to be really funny stuff.
Oh yeah, that was absolutely hilarious. Once again, I love that so much. Yeah, they are just completely on point right now, and I'm getting a real kick out of it. I'm just yeah, it's really good stuff.
So yeah, but none of that stuff, I think all of those matches that they set up are for a later time.
Well, the Bronson Reed match with Austin Theory, that's next week,
Yes.
and they did not give a date for the NXT Tag Team Championship return match, so from
Oh.
Takeover. So yeah, no, that's all good stuff coming up. Utilizing these four people really well to set up, multiple things down the line. Bronson Reed is getting a good push
Oh.
in all of this, and maybe we'll eventually actually take the title off of Johnny Gargano. We shall see. Dexter Loomis, one of the most, it was an absolutely baffling signing that they signed the serial killer guy from TNA. Years after he'd been on TV,
Yeah.
and maybe necessarily still not necessarily great shakes as a worker, but they have gotten a lot out of in non-wrestling capacity out of his babyface serial killer persona.
Yeah, this has definitely been unexpected, to say the least. Samuel Shaw getting this much of a run in the WWE, even if it is in NXT, is not something I expected. Yeah, and again, like he doesn't have much of a part to play, but when he's there, like it, his actions and his demeanors sell everything. So yeah, he's definitely been an integral part of that storyline, and his stoicism really helps out. We did have a fun little story there to start off and close the show with Kyle O'Reilly and Cameron Grimes.
Yeah, that was once again for a low stakes maintenance show. Yeah, what they did with those guys was fine. Yeah, decent little main event, show long angle. It looks like we're getting and it looks like we're going to be getting some appearances from one Mr. Ted DiBiase in NXT very soon to interact with Cameron Grimes, and that should be quite entertaining.
Oh, I was unaware that this was the plan, but that is outstanding.
Well, I kind of blanked out a little bit during the promo with Mackenzie Mitchell, but I guess it's that in some kind of a business deal, Cameron Grimes has been screwed over by the Million Dollar Man, or something of that sort. I didn't quite catch it all. I apologize for that, but yes, that does appear to be coming shortly, and so
Nice.
know, a one night thing to get Kyle O'Reilly another key win as he is seemingly prepares to challenge Karrion Kross next for the NXT Championship.
Yeah, that's one of those feuds that I'm pretty interested in, just because you really don't, it's that situation where you don't really want to see Kyle O'Reilly come up short for, would it be a third time?
Yes, it would be a third time.
Yeah, you don't really want to see that, but it'd be kind of weird for him to be, win over Karrion Kross and essentially Kross's first title defense.
It seems a bit odd, but in the end, Kross is, and Scarlett are an act that is absolutely earmarked for the main roster.
Oh.
And it would actually fit in the main roster better than it does in NXT. So I could see a quickie title reign and title loss for Mr. Kross. Similar to Keith Lee last year. When he dropped the title to Karrion Kross just 6 weeks after, like 6 weeks after winning it.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that. I mean, it's weird that they're going through, they would go through with a Kross title win and not just have O'Reilly, get the win over Finn Balor in the third time's the charm match. But if they're going this direction, that's fine too.
It could be a little more played out. And like you said, I guess by the time June ends up rolling around, because I would not think that this match will take place anywhere but a takeover.
Yeah.
There is definitely some time to be playing around with the storyline. And make sense of Kross's title reign. Like, you could give him a couple of weaker opponents in the meantime to squash in a main event here or there between then and now. What else? Oh, I guess to kind of go back to the ladies for a little bit. What did you make of Saray's debut against the aforementioned Zoe Stark?
She was impressive. A good debut for Saray. Although I am partial to people in their debut getting a more dominating win. I think that helps a lot than doing 50-50. And for Zoe Stark, I was not... Or is it Stark or Starks?
I think it's just Stark.
Okay. For Zoe Stark, it kind of a weird beginning for her on NXT. She shows enough to be impressive, but she's only won one match, which apparently took place on a Takeover pre-show that I missed completely.
She beat Toni Storm
Yes, I've been informed of that.
Yeah.
But then she went, kind of reverted back to being the plucky newcomer who fights a good game but loses in the end. So I'm not really a fan of that either. So once again, I would have preferred a more dominating win for Saray. Give her like Aaliyah or someone of that stature. Or that was that? Who's Aaliyah's partner? Jess something?
Jessie Kamea.
Jessica Maya, yeah. Get her someone like that. If you've got plans for Zoe Stark, don't do that to her. And if you have too competitive a match, it doesn't do as much for Saray either. So yeah, no. But as a match, it was good.
As much as I thought that, like you said, like I thought they were moving in a different direction with Stark. So her to pick up another loss was kind of an interesting one. you know, but A, of course, you never want to have a debuting wrestler lose unless, you know, they are just purposefully going to be enhancement talent. So, yeah, it was an interesting spot for Stark and for Saray. Like, Stark has shown too much to have to lose that match. So, like you said, like, she would have been better off taking on somebody else in that situation.
Yeah.
I guess another match that popped up, Dexter Lumis against L.A. Knight. L.A. Knight ends up getting the cheapy win with a little Indy Hartwell distraction.
Yeah. Speaking of baffling sightings of people from TNA, what are we even doing? I mean, this guy isn't, there's nothing to this guy. Ugh.
Yeah.
What are they even thinking?
He's one that, like, and they're not even booking him well. Like,
he is not going to find his place a la Dexter Lumis or anything else. This is, he already lost his second match in NXT.
Yeah, and it was the only real high profile one. And the two high profile matches he's won have been suspect circumstances at best. It's like, you're not really doing a lot to sell me on this guy right now.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, he is not off to a rousing start.
This is a guy who, I guess you could say, quote, he prospered in the, what was he kind of getting a start when Dixie Carter still owned Impact?
Probably. I mean, I feel like he was around there for a while, and I'm being too lazy to look it up.
I don't currently. Because I really did stop watching fairly quickly after the transition to Anthem, and yeah. I do remember the whole "yeah, dummy" thing and being really annoyed by it. Then,
yes.
Yeah. So this guy's just got nothing. I mean, he was a guy who got pushed in Impact because they had no one else. It feels like after they even in Impact, when they tried him out in the main events, they even then quickly, you know, figured out the error of their ways.
Well, and yeah, he's another guy that it's just always curious. He's definitely one of the older guys too. You know, like, to be in the position that he's in, like, I want to say he's in his late 30s already, like, and so it's like, huh?
Yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, why is this guy getting this much TV time? Like, I understand kind of having a guy around like that to serve as something of a, wrestler slash coach, if you think they're that good in the ring. But I don't think he does that either, though. You know, he's never been known as much of a ring general. Like, I don't think he's a disgrace in the ring, honestly, but I'm not going to pick him out of a lineup for having a great match either.
No. And he was champion in Impact from August of 2017 to January of 2018.
Oh.
Before losing to Austin Aries. Wow, I didn't miss much there. Jesus. Yeah, I mean, just an Impact reject, like, yeah, nothing to him.
Yep, and I guess in moving along news here, we had Kushida beating Oney Lorcan, who is probably going to pile up some L's while Danny Burch is on the shelf. And then Imperium getting a win over Everrise, one of our favorite scumbag teams. So yeah, I mean, I think that puts a nice little bow on NXT, unless there's some other salient point that I'm missing.
No. We can absolutely move on at the 15-minute mark. Not that I'm excited to get out of here. We do have another entire show to talk about.
Yes, we do. So I guess since you thought that this show was a little more noteworthy, what to you was the most noteworthy? Was it the main event or something else on the billing?
I mightily enjoyed the women's championship match between Ty Conti and Hikaru Shida. I thought that was the highlight of the show, and I'm not necessarily say I think it should have closed versus the TNT championship. Again, it was kind of a pick 'em situation,
Oh,
and I think
yeah.
they tried to explain it away by saying that whenever the TNT championship is defended on Dynamite, it has to be the main event. Even though I know that can't be true, that's already been proven
Yeah,
not true, but what have you. But they just didn't want to hear it from women's wrestling fans, is my guess. But no, I like the match a lot. Tay Conti is definitely improves with every match she has. She's incredibly good. So is Shida, especially when she has the right opponent. So that they put on a particularly enjoyable match for me.
Yeah, the women in general have done a great deal of improving in AEW. Ty Conti certainly seems to be one of the few WWE people to move over that is really prospering. I don't know if the WWE was trying to make her too much of a wrestler, which seems weird, especially in NXT, because they don't generally try to make a try to put a square peg into a round hole, so to speak. But it really seems like AEW just said, "Hey, just let your judo skills do the work, and we'll go from there." And it looks great because she's just tossing women all over the place. But it also didn't seem like maybe quite the right time for her to be taking home a championship.
No.
And
But they've done such a good job with her, and she comes off so well that it's still you still felt the disappointment when she lost. I think that was at least for me, I think, because I've become a really big fan. But no. She just had a fairly long reign now, and has at least one more top heel to work with in Britt Baker, who hilariously had that graphic already prepared.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Britt Baker has been knocking. And yeah, that's the main reason Ty Conti can't win right now because Britt Baker she has not held the women's championship in AEW yet, if I'm not
No,
mistaken.
she has not, and I've made that clear that she should have by now. But they play the long game, and maybe it will absolutely will work out for them. I think that Shida, whatever injury issue she had late last year to the early part of this year, had no momentum, but she has had the opportunity to have several title defenses since and make more appearances on Dynamite. So Shida's about probably as over as she's gonna be in this role. And Ty Conti is of course a still a project. Still not anywhere near as good as she's going to be even in a year.
Oh.
For Ty Conti. So
Yeah.
to have Sheeta be the one to for Britt Baker to challenge is all good in my book. I foresee a new champion unless they want to have to really, really push Jade Cargill really hard, really quick with a title win. That will be an interesting situation if you have Britt Baker as a heel women's champion. Because once you turn Jade Cargill face, you really don't, have that match for Jade to have to go up for the title anytime soon. And AEW doesn't typically have more than one women's match per show, unless they get more confident in the women's abilities to carry these segments, which could be coming soon, because the women have, in the one segment they get on Dynamite, I can't remember the last time a women's segment shit the bed, as they say. So they were doing a lot better with that. But at Britt Baker title reign, she's got Chris Statlander to work with. They could build Ty Conti back up. There's the sanctioned match with Thunder Rosa. They could promote based on the match that they had the incredible match they had. Yeah, there's a lot more for there's a lot more for a heel champion to do right now, especially since she does. Essentially beating everyone else.
Oh. Yeah, she has, if she hasn't beaten everyone else, she's beaten them multiple times. Yes. So, yeah, she kind of needs to take an L, she's kind of had a lengthy title reign, so it's about time for Britt Baker to get her first reign. We opened up the show with some Hangman Page beating Ricky Starks. Despite definitely seeming like a top prospect type, Ricky Starks has taken an awful lot of L's in his time on Dynamite.
Yes, he has. He is the designated jobber for Team Taz. Not a lot of big wins on his resume. Some good performances, some good promos, but not that big win. And it's getting a little long in the tooth. But once again, of course, it's not like he lost to just anybody. He lost to the guy who's being essentially groomed to challenge Kenny Omega for the championship on the next pay per view. They had a good match. Wasn't that big a deal, but there does need to be a real focus on Starks and some wins in his future before he gets defined down permanently.
On the level of awkward, how awkward was it for you to see Alex Abrahane? I can't even pronunciate his last name. Abrahantes? Yeah, there we go. Be a heel manager for Penta El Zero Miedo.
Yeah, that whole thing with the Hispanic interviewer, Alex, did you say? Yeah, Alex.
Yeah,
just Alex. Just Alex. Alex doing heel work. Here's the thing. Before Pentagon fought Cody, which is, I think, on the same episode of the unsanctioned women's match, which is going on 5 or 6 weeks ago now, he cut a heel promo representing Pentagon. Oh. Then he stopped. Then he didn't do that for a while and just went back to doing his interview duties and whatnot. Then Pentagon started teaming in 6-man tag matches with Phoenix and Laredo Kid, essentially turning Pentagon back babyface when he had just turned heel the week prior. But then when Pac came back from whatever he came back from, Pac and Phoenix started teaming again, and now Pentagon is, or Penta L Zero M, I should say, is now picking back up where he left off as a heel, managed by Alex. Yes.
And that is it's one of those, I feel like Alex enjoys the role, and I'm okay with it. It's just like one of those, just pick one, though. You know, if he's going to be a heel manager, cool. You know, just put him in that role. Like, it's silly to have him in both roles.
Yeah, he cannot be doing, you know, interviews on Dynamite or any of the other shows, or hosting the whatever pre-shows or whatever.
Oh, right.
AEW does on YouTube as a straight man. He could play it like Bobby the Brain Heenan would, or other managers / announcers have in the past.
Oh.
But he can't play it straight in one role and then be a devious heel at ringside with Pentagon and at another part of the show. That does not work.
Agreed. Yeah. So that was honestly the most interesting thing of that match. I guess, what did you think about the dueling promos between the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle?
I don't know. It just still feels like two heel factions going at each other, and two people I don't like going back and forth on the microphone. And we're not supposed to like either of them.
Yeah. Yeah. There isn't a cool heel to root for in this situation.
No, there is not. No, it's... Yeah, no, I've not been a... The Inner Circle started running out of steam possibly close to a year ago, at least. It really started when the original plan for the Blood and Guts match with them against the Elite, never took place.
Oh.
And then, of course, they got the Stadium Stampede match that was well-received, and that was fine. But since then, the Inner Circle has been downplayed. Hager's Hager, Sammy Guevara's had all sorts of issues. Santana and Ortiz have just been a complete non-factor. And, Jericho himself has... While still being Chris Jericho and still being prominent, also, slipping down the card as well. So it just doesn't feel... It feels like they're really forcing this. And they're really forced because they just, for whatever reason... And I'm shocked with his own group feud. I'm shocked Cody's letting Jericho have this. Jericho and MJF have this. Well, he's basically letting them do war games. He wanted to do his dad's gimmick match for himself. It would actually possibly make more sense if you build up, Cody's versus QT Marshall's crew in this manner than what we have with the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle without a clearly defined babyface team. It's just, as I said, The Jericho having his own group of guys it worked well. They've never been the greatest cohesive group, five guys together on each side. I'm likely to believe that the guys in the Pinnacle are all friends than the Inner Circle.
Yes,
with Santana and Ortiz being the real outliers there.
But
Jericho having his heavies worked through his title reign, and they were doing a good enough job building up the Elite versus the Inner Circle in the original idea for Blood and Guts, and that really hurt. Not going being able to go through with that really did hurt things for AEW for a while, because that was all they were building to at the time, and then it didn't happen. But. This just feels forced, to have this kind of violent, War Games type match between these two factions. It's not resonating with me. It's not hitting me. I mean, I guess I'll enjoy the blood and guts of it, I guess. But I couldn't care less who wins or loses.
Yeah, it just got weird really quick. Like, I still don't understand why the Pinnacle got their asses handed to them so badly as soon as the Inner Circle came back. Like, that part of the angle really is just killing everything after that. You know, that shouldn't have happened, so, like, the Inner Circle doesn't need to get revenge. Like, we don't need another match for there to be revenge achieved.
Yeah, we don't need... we don't need anything. Jericho shoved that man's head in the toilet.
Yeah.
Do I need to see MJF get his revenge now? Because I do think the Pinnacle is gonna come away with the win here. They've been made to look too weak otherwise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you need to kind of invest in them. And I mean, like you said, Jericho's, after picking up the initial win and kind of, being the face of the company, which, you know, made a great deal of sense to have a known commodity be the face, you know, your first champion. There isn't anywhere for him to go other than helping people out. So that would just be, to me, another reason to have the Pinnacle win. Like, Jericho is essentially there to do jobs for the rest of the time that he's in AEW. I'm sure he needs to pick up wins sometimes, but he's going to be pulling out some pretty hefty L's in my estimation.
Yeah.
You know, one guy that I do think has turned it up has been Miro. Your thoughts on his promo this week?
Once again, another very good promo from Miro. He's finally decided to show up in AEW and put in some effort. Which, you know, good for him. This version of Miro could absolutely be a star in AEW. Could absolutely be, you know, a star anywhere and was. It's good stuff. I wish they had just had him come in and be a killer from the start. It's mind-boggling that they did not.
Yeah, the fact that they attached him to anyone and on top of that, they attached him to the black hole of charisma. So yeah, it seems like he's on his own and he's just kind of hellbent on destruction, which is, yeah, exactly what he should be. Like, he's one of the bigger guys in your company. Like, yes. That should be his role. So, I was pretty happy about that. I do really feel like he's moving in the right direction. Did you feel like it was 1999 all over again when back-to-back matches were had by Billy Gunn and then Christian Cage?
I thought you were going somewhere else with that, but we'll take this one. I feel like it was 1999 all over again when I saw a truck crash into a into a trailer and like that, like,
yeah,
straight out of 1999. Yes.
Yeah, that could have been an easy way to go too.
Yeah. But no, Billy Gunn in a singles match in 2021 on a major wrestling show. I've grown some appreciation for Billy Gunn's work as I've gotten older, and especially how impossibly large that man is.
But yes.
In a singles match with QT Marshall, I'm strangely intrigued by this whole storyline involving QT Marshall and his group and their issue with Cody and his friends. But man, does Cody have some shitty friends to to carry the mantle for him while he's gone.
It is kind of wild. Like, his family just got too big too quick.
Yeah.
But I guess I am. Like, they finally decided to give everyone personalities here recently. And that's kind of nice. You know? I wouldn't have known anyone from the Nightmare family. From a hole in the wall until the last few weeks. And I've really liked the featuring of Anthony Ogogo for QT Marshall's team.
Yes, that's all very, which, again, it's being about him and, God, what's the big guy's name again? I keep losing his name.
I do too. So you are not alone. And I'm not seeing it on the review real quick here. Kamaratu.
Kamaratu was really his name?
Not sure his name. Or is it Aaron Solo?
Well, no. Aaron Solo is the other guy.
Okay, well then it's Kamaratu. Nick Kamaratu.
Right. Yes, I mean, those two, him and Ogogo, are absolutely have a lot going for them. You know, obviously Solo's there to do the jobs, because there's really not much else that he seems to bring to the table. But you've got these two really big dudes, you know, one world-class boxer, the other just a monster-looking guy. You know, again, I had a lot of misgivings when it came to the realization that they were running with a QT Marshall heel turn on Cody. But if you keep the as I said before, if you keep the focus on these other guys you're bringing up and not on QT himself, it works out. But this was a little too much QT in the ring for me, for my liking. And putting him against Billy Gunn, that just makes it worse.
Oh, yeah. As much as Billy Gunn has done a great job of keeping himself in shape, I'm going to throw it out there that age catches up to you at some point. So, you know, yeah, I'll leave it at that. Billy Gunn QT was a little much.
Wow. Hold on.
Uh-oh, breaking news.
The talent relation who was fired over the Mickey James incident? Not a small name, especially if you're familiar with Total Divas. Mark Carano, who was Triple H's assistant in talent relations for years and years, was the one who was let go over all of this.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was, I mean, I haven't watched Total Divas in ages. But I guess that makes sense. I mean, he really did talk to a lot of the ladies.
Yeah, he did. He was definitely, he was essentially portrayed as the wrestler's boss, really.
Yes.
Because they didn't have Triple H on TV in that role. And it's, once again, you know, some new people are, you know, Johnny Ace is back in power, and we've got other new corporate forces coming into play, including, you know, a new company president who's definitely making some moves. And Triple H's top guy, the guy who was the Triple H's, you know, right-hand man, has found himself out the door.
Wow, man. That is a little bit of a shocker.
Yeah.
I will admit. Like you said, like, I expected that to be some schmuckety schmuck.
Yeah.
But, no, it is not. That is, wow, man. That makes it even worse, honestly.
No, they're sad.
That really makes it, like, you know, you would think that someone in his position would definitely have the respect to not do what happened there.
Yeah, no. Right.
I guess the only thing to me that is really big left to talk in AEW is the actual main event there. Darby yeah. Allin, Jungle Boy. Evidently not quite time to coronate Jungle Boy these days.
I guess not quite yet. I don't know if I wouldn't have pulled the trigger on that one or not, but they did not. And no, I mean they had a fine match, but man, am I getting a little tired of these ways they're trying to shoehorn Sting into things. there is Sting, and Sting should not be trading back and blows back and forth with Luchasaurus. And essentially getting the better of their million-year-old dinosaur.
Well, yeah, and the funny thing, and it's one of those situations where I know if you talk to the wrestler themselves, they're like, "Oh man, that was so great! Sting got to punch me." But yeah, I'm just throwing it out there that it's not a good thing.
No, and why? And what is with all that outside interference anyway during a babyface match? What were they? Once again, it was just a way to shoehorn Sting into the show, and they're having to do that constantly, you know, every week. Hey. But no, I mean, the match was fine, and then the attack from Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page, who they have not on Dynamite given people any reason to care about Ethan Page. Or anything besides one match. I don't think he's even had a promo on his own. So yeah,
he got one. Did he get one when he came the first week he came in?
He may have.
But yeah, like it was really weird that he came in as a singles wrestler, and all of a sudden, him and Scorpio Sky are together. And SCU is not to be heard from.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There were a lot of shenanigans in this match that were not necessary.
It's the second Darby Allin main event clusterfuck in a row, in consecutive weeks, that just turned into a total clusterfuck. And I understand in the match with Matt Hardy having to run all that going on, but Darby and Jungle Boy didn't need all that.
No, they are both definitely more than capable of just having a good match, but yeah, they dressed it up a little too much. So yeah, it was good, but It definitely could have been better.
Yeah, and of course we're still playing the never-ending game of is Lance Archer a babyface or a heel this week?
Yeah, that's weird.
His whole booking has been weird for about 6 months or so.
Yeah. Yeah, they're kind of finding reasons to keep him away from the main event, but still not really giving him a whole lot to sink his teeth into.
Yeah, you know, it's seemed like he was a baby face for a while, then he went back heel again. Now he's saving another baby. Now he's saving a baby face again. It's all weird, and is making no sense.
Yep. Anything else to cover before we mosey on out of here?
I think we got it pretty good.
Okay, well, you know, nothing like nailing AEW in 30 minutes. Bell Time Beer of the show was part of Pizza and Beer Week here in the fine city of Columbus. And Saucy Brew Works is out of Cleveland originally, but they have exported one of their pubs down here. So when we picked up a pizza at their joint yesterday, we also picked up Mr. Stone's Double Oat Stout. I definitely do not enjoy as many stouts as I would like most of the time. The wife has taken over the dark beer domain. But this one's a plain old stout, and she doesn't like those. She needs more alcohol in them. But this was quite enjoyable. It was very smooth, very easy to drink. Just 6%, or 6.5% ABV. So it wasn't crazy heavy in the alcohol department. And yeah, I'm not completely sure where all you can get them, but I would imagine at least all over the fine state of Ohio. So yeah. Saucy Brew Works. I'll have to try more of them to figure out if I actually like all of their stuff. But I think this is number two, and this was definitely a good good second beer from them. So yeah, that is at DeFrango 11's Bell Time Beer for the show. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and download us at any fine location, whether it happens to be iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, yeah, any of the lot of them. You can download this fine show, and have a good night, grandkids.
Later.